Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chaf, and we are 22 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Yotes Amid Beis. Omer Abavo Leicharv Yerushalayim Elabishvil Shabitlu Kriyashma Shacharis Va'arvis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema. The Shlomo Ben Sar Aliza, Harav David Ben Shimma, Avram Ben Gittel, Shoshana Bas Esther Bela, Meir Ben Chanala, Avram Kadesh Ben Malka Bela, Avram Yukasil Ben Gittel, Chana Gittel Bas Brindel, Rufal Chaim Shayoshov Ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Tzvi Ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo Ben Basya, Chaim Ben Yama Mordechai Ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shlomo Ziskin Ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi Ben Chana Henala, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe Ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv Ben Krindel, Shoshana Tova Bas Esther, Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Adasa, and Chavez Serol, Bas Chana Freda. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas, Harav Zalman ben Tzion, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Ezeh ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskind ben Meir Elchanan. So we're at the tail end of two of the most epic dafim in Shas. Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Tes. Every line is Hafoichba, Vahafoichba de Kulaba. The last Gemara that we learned said that Omar Abaya, Loicharva Yerushalayim, Ela Bishvil Shechilu Luba Asa Shabbos. The reason Yerushalayim was Charev, the reason the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, is because the Yidim were Mechal Shabbos. And he based it on a Pasuk. A Pasuk in Sefi Yecheskel Perek Chav Beis, Umishapsoisai Helimu Einayim, Vo'echal B'soicham. And from that Pasuk, Abaya derived that the reason the Beis HaMikdash was Charev was because of Chilul Shabbos. And as we're going to see now, the Gemara is going to digress from its digression and is going to mention memras from other Amoraim who suggested reasons why the Beis HaMikdash was Charev. Now the obvious question is, we all know the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, where the Gemara says the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because the Yidden violated the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shfichas Damim. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, because of Sinas Chinam. And now we're about to learn a Gemara where Amoraim are going to give different reasons, none of which are Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shfichas Damim, none of which are sinas chinam as reasons for why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So obviously this Gemara needs to be reconciled with that Gemara that's universally accepted as being the reason for Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is that there are other Gemaras in Shas where the Gemara gives different reasons for why the Beis HaMikdash was Charev. Shloi Barucho Batayra Tchila, and the Rishonim and the Sfarim HaKdoshim work in different places to reconcile all of Hanal, and obviously this Gemara needs to be thrown into that mix. But for now, Omer the reason Yerushalayim was Chorev is because the Yidden were Mevatel Kriyashma. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Yishaya Perakei, Hoy Mashkime Vaboiker Sheikhar Yerdoifu. There are people that wake up early in the morning. Why? For Sheikhar, to drink wine, beer. Ma'achare Banefeshef, they stay up late. Why? Yayin Yadli game, for wine. And the Pasuk says afterwards, meaning they were waking up early in the morning, they were going to sleep late at night. But rather than to say it was all about getting drunk. The Pasuk says right afterwards, it's for that reason the Yidden went into Golas. So you see, Yerushalayim was chare because the Yidden woke up early, went to sleep late at night, but rather than say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they were busy following their taivos. Thus, Amar Abavo, Leicharvu Yerushalayim, Elabishvil Shabitlu, Kriyashma Shachris Varvis. Now, from the Pasuk that Abavo brought, it seems obvious that he was discussing the first Beis HaMikdash. This is Yeshaya Perakei. The Psukim in Yeshaya describe Churban Bayis Rishon. Amar Abavo Hamnuna, Leicharvu Yerushalayim, Elabishvil Shabitlu, Batinoik Shabbos Rabbim. The reason Yerushalayim was Chariv is because the children, the Tinoik Shabbos Rabbim, stopped learning Torah. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Shvoich al oilo bachutz, matam shvoich. What's the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured his anger out at the Yidden? Mishum da oilo, the children bachutz, they were outside. They weren't in yeshiva. Amar ulu lecharv Yerushalayim, el b'shul shalayim b'yishas panim b'zamizet. The reason Yerushalayim was charev is because the Yidden weren't embarrassed from each other. Shenema, the Pasuk says, hoivishu ki toyeva asu, Gam boish lo yevoishu. And this pasuk is in that context in Yirmiyahu Perek Vav that describes the churban. Gam boish lo yevoishu, meaning people were doing averus; they weren't even embarrassed about the averus that we're doing. That's the reason the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. I'm Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak suggested a different reason. Lo yicharva Yerushalayim elo bishvul shehushvu katan v'gadol. The reason Yerushalayim was charev is because a katan and a gadol, they were one and the same. Shenema yishayich avdalot v'hoyu ka'om kakoyen. The Am was like the Kain. The Kain's supposed to be the leader. Shevet Levi, Yeru Mishpatach LeYakov, V'Soy Raschel Yisrael, V'Kidashtoy. But it wasn't that way. The Am and the Kain, they were one and the same. Uksiv Basrei, Hiboik, Tiboik Ha'aretz. The Aretz is going to be destroyed. Why? Because V'Hoya Cha'am Cha'Kain. Amar Rav Amram B'Rei D'Rav Shimon Bar Abba. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Abba. Amar Rav Chanina. So this traced itself back to Rav Chanina. Like Harv Yishlaim Elav Shosh Leichichu Zeze. The reason Yishlaim was Harv is because the Yidden didn't give each other Teichacha. They saw each other doing averus, but they let it slide. Shenema hoyu sareh ka'ayalim loymatsu mira. The Yidden, this is Eicha Paragalef. So the Yidden, they were like ayalim. What did the Yidden have to do with an ayal? Ma ayal zeh roisho yishol zeh b'tzadz nove yishol zeh. So if you have a whole bunch of ayalim following each other, so one's head is going to be inside the tail of the ayal that's in front of him. Af Yisrael shebo yisei adar kofshu pneim b'karka. They dug their head in the ground. V'loy hechichu zeh zeh. They didn't give each other mos. Amar Rav Yehuda. This is almost a mafurish pasuk. So the Yidden were malivim b'malachei olikim, the leaders, uboizim dvarav, umitatim b'neviyav. Ad alois chamas Hashem ba'adamay, until finally the chamas Hashem, the fury of Hashem, affected the Yidden to the point that ain marpe, there was no refuah. Says the Gemara, my ain marpe, Om Rav Yudah, my Rav, kol ha-mevazah talmid ha-chachamim, ain lo refuah l'makaseh. If someone's mevazah talmid chacham, not only is it terrible, but ain lo refuah l'makaseh, this is something that we're going to get back to. Om Rav Yudah, my Rav, maidich sev al tigu, bim shichoy, uvin viyay al toreh, yo al tigu bim shichay, elu tonegash v'es rabam. That's referring to the tinoikash v'es rabam. Uvin viyay al toreh, yo elu talmid ha-chachamim. We're going to get back to this as well. Om So we just mentioned the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam twice. Number one, Rav Hamnuna said, "Loicharva Yerushalayim Ela Bishvil Shebitlu Ba Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam." The reason the Beis Hamikdash, seemingly the first Beis Hamikdash, was destroyed is because Bitlu Ba Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, what does the pasuk mean when it says "Al Tigu B'Mshichai"? Don't touch Mshichai. Elu Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam. Now we have a third memra as it relates to Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam, and this was Reish Lakish in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So Reish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, "Eino Elu Meskayim Elbash Vol Helu Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam." The world stands on the Torah of the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam. Heva literally means the breath of the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam. But the point is that when Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam learned Torah, that's what sustains the world. That's the oxygen of the world. Amalei Rapapa Labayo Di Divid. And what about us? So Rav Papa turns to Abaye. What? Is there something wrong with our Torah? Dafka the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam. Amaleis Abaye famously told Rav Papa, "Einoy doima hevel sheyesh bochet lehevel sheim boichet." You can't compare the Torah of the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam to our Torah. Our Torah might be on a higher level, but at the same time, we're adults, and as a result, we are humans, and our Hevel has in it a little bit of Avera. But the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam, they're not bar mitzvah yet. Their Torah is Hevel She'in Boichet. And because their Torah is Hevel She'in Boichet, it's on a higher madrig of Amar Eish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Emivatan Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam, Fulu Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Torah of the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam is so important that if the Beis HaMikdash were being built today, the children would still go to yeshiva. We wouldn't ask them to give us a hand. Ein Mevatlin Tinoika Shel Beis Rabam, Afilu Le Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Amar Eish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Shlakish told Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Kach Mekublan Ebi Avoysai. This is what I was Mekabel from my father. Amar Eish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, this is what I was Mekabel from your father. So it's interesting. We don't know much about Reish Lakish's family. Reish Lakish's story seems to have been a story of a Yid that maybe wasn't raised b'derech HaTorah, although there's a Tosfos in Shas, a Rabbeinu Tam, that says that Reish Lakish was a Shana Upiresh, and then he started learning Torah again. But usually you think of Reish Lakish as someone that was found by Rabbi Yochanan and married into Rabbi Yochanan's family and became the great Rish Lakish. Here you have Rish Lakish says, Kach mikublani me avoisai. It sounds like he has an illustrious ancestry, and he says, this is the Messiah that I have in my mishpacha. The Va'amri law, the other version is, Kach mikublani me avoisecha. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, he came from Shevet the Yehuda, he came from the Nesiim, so he certainly came from tremendous yichus. But either way, whether it was Rish Lakish's yichus or Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya's yichus, he said the following: Kol ir she'im bal tinoikus ve'yisraven. Any city that doesn't have yeshivas for the children, machriven oisa. At some point, this city is going to be destroyed. Ravina Amar Ravina said it's even worse than that. Machrimen oisa. Rashi says machrimen is lekashir. This is going to be nothing. A churban, it could be a churva. Churva is Yerushalayim. Machrimen means is going to be nothing. It'll be completely obliterative. Amar Rava, Lechob Yerushalayim, Elishol Shabaskim, Man, Anshe Money. One way the base of Mikdash was destroyed is because there were no honest people in Yerushalayim. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Yirmiyo Perikesh, Shoytetu Bechutzais Yerushalayim, Uru'una, Uda'u, Uvakshu Berchoy Beisem, Timtsu Ish, Im Yesh Oysem Mishpad, Mevakish Amudim Esachlo. Hashem tells Yirmiyo enough. Yirmiyo's pleading with Hashem, spear the Beis HaMikdash, spear Yerushalayim. So finally Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, you know what? Here's the deal. Shaitetu b'chutzais Yerushalayim. Go out in the street and see if you can find one honest man. If you can find an ish that's oisem mishpat, who's mevakesh amunah ve'eslachlo, I'll forgive. Clearly, he couldn't find anybody. So Rava said, "Lo yicharva Yerushalayim, ela b'shvil shapasku mimena anshei amon." Frank Gemara Ani is extra. V'am Rav Ketina. Rav Ketina said, "Afilu b'shasku shleim neshal Yerushalayim." Even the lowest point of Yerushalayim, like pasku mimena anshei amon, there were erlecha people. Shenema, the pasuk says, describing this same tkufa, the tkufa of the churban, ki yispois ish ba'achiv beis aviv simla lecha. Katzin tielanos. So what does this pasuk mean? Said Rav Ketina. Dvarim shibnei adam is kasim behem kisimlo yeshnam biyodecha. The context is ki yispais ish ba'achid. A man, circa churban bayis rishon, met his friend, and he said, I see you have a shirt. Katzin tielanu, come be a leader. Meaning, you seem to know how to learn a little bit. Would you come be a manig? Would you be a marid astrofas? V'amachshela hazois tachas yodecha. What does that mean? Dvarim she'im bnei adam oim demaleim elam keinich shalom ba. I see you having new things that people need to stumble upon first in order to know. That's Torah. Torah you can't get right away. Torah is yagati u'matzasi. Only afterwards, Tamin. It's something that you have to first stumble on a little bit. You have to make mistakes. You have to fall. And then eventually, sheva yupul tzadik v'kam. Yesh non tachas yodecha. Katzin tialanu. So I see, the point is, Ruvain meets Shimon in the street and says, I see you know how to learn Torah. Katzin tialanu. Come be a leader. So you know what? His response is, Yisa b'yoy mahu lemer loy e'achoyvish. But Shimon responded to Ruvain, said, this, I don't know if it actually happened, but it's a depiction of what the ruach in the gas was at that time. In Yis al Lashon Shvua. No, Shimon responded and he swore. V'chein uaymer loisis l'shem Hashem. Loi eya choivesh. Loi eya michoiv sheyatzman mibeis medrash. No, you have the wrong guy. This is a mistaken identity. That's not me. I never locked myself up in a beis medrash. Uveisi ein lechem ve'ein simlo. Meaning, not I don't have food, but she'im b'yadi loi mikra v'loi mishna v'loi gemara. So what do you see from here? So you see from this long-winded marshal that the Yidden were Erlich. Reuven goes over to Shimon and he says, Shimon, will you come please? You know, we want to offer you a shteller. It pays well. You're going to get covered. He says, nah, this is you have the wrong person. This is not me. So how could the Gemara say, Rava said, here you have a Rav Katino who darshan the pasuk Yishaya Perigimel, also describing the tkufa of Churban Bayis Rishon, where people seem to be overly honest. So the Gemara says, "Amimai, what's the kasha?" Dilmashani Hasam the Amalu Gamirna Amru Le'Emolon. This is a milsa da'avida l'gluye. So let's say Shimon would have taken this job. And Itaka doesn't know how to learn. Now he has to get up and be a rav. If he doesn't know how to be a rav, so it's going to be embarrassing. Meaning, lo'ayla, people were not honest. The reason he didn't take the shteller is not because he wasn't looking to make a few dollars, and not because he was so erlich, but it was simply, what was he supposed to do? But the Gemara says, no, havalei the meima. You know where we see the honesty, and you know why the Gemara is asking this kasha? Is because what he could have said was, gomar v'shachach. He didn't have to say, I never learned. He said, no, you got the wrong person. He says, basically, and lechavem. Suddenly, he should have said, you know something, you have the right person. And truthfully, 10 years ago, this might have been a good opportunity. But it just so happens it's not the right time. Right? He could have been a little bit more diplomatic. And the fact that he was so brutally honest in his response, that's why the Gemara is asking the kasha. But either way, so how are you miyashiv? So were people honest? Were they not honest? One says, like, kasha, kambi divrei Torah, kambi masa b'matan. When it came to inyone Torah, people were very honest. But when it came to business, people were not so honest. And that's what Rava was referring to when he said, like, charva Yerushalayim, ad she pasku Mimenu anshei amono, it meant anshei amono when it comes to maso mato, when it comes to business. Yeah, people were very erlich. They observed the commandment of midvar sheker terchak, but not b'inyonei maso v'maton. And Rava said that's the reason that the Beis Hamikdash was charet. It's interesting, the Marsha in Chidushei Agadis on this Gemara, this is not for the faint of heart, thus, I won't go through it. But Ayin Sham, the Masha says as follows. He says that the Gemara lists a whole bunch of reasons, different Amayra and Marki de Islay and Marki de Islay, why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Vihine roiva voinois, ukemat kulam heim bedoir hazeh b'avoinoseinu harabim. He says most of these averis that were mentioned, ukemat kulam, they're around today. And then the Masha goes through line by line, each one of these averis that different Amiram attributed to the reason for Churban Beis HaMikdash, where he found it in his generation. That's the Ayin Shom part. And then he says at the end, and he says, the truth is, really, I should have been more Meirich. This Marshal is like 10 lines long. He says, really, I should have been Meirich. I said, Ulai lo yia mashkiach bedavar. He says, perhaps people aren't going to listen to me. They're not going to take me seriously. When it comes to a similar situation, you're in a position to give Teichacha, but you have a strong hunch that no one's going to take you seriously. So the Marsha says, this is what I'm going to tell you. Everything else, either way, we have a lot to get back to in the raid bites, but for now, we also have a daf to learn. So the context of this digression, of this epic digression, was Perikol Kisvei. Perikol Kisvei describes a fire that's burning in a house on Shabbos. You can't extinguish the fire, that's obvious. The question is, can you save items from the fire? At first glance, why not? Assuming the items that you're saving are a mukta, assuming you're not going to be carrying it, you won't violate the laws of Aitzah, Midrash, Midrabbanan, there should be no issue. Saying that the Chachamim were very, very precise and specific about what a person's allowed to say. And the reason is because Yarda Torah L'Soif Da'ita Shaladam, the Chachamim, being the psychoanalysts that they sometimes were, understood that if you're going to allow a person to start saving things from a fire, at some point, there's a really good chance he's going to extinguish the fire. He's going to be overwhelmed by the fire, by the emotional distraught that he has, that all his possessions are being lost. So really, if you want a person not to extinguish the fire, you know, you tell him, just stay far away from it. If you stay away from the fire, then you don't have to worry. But if you're going to let a person get involved and drezich with the fire, all you're doing is asking for trouble. And it's for that reason Chachamim said there's certain things you're allowed to save, that we understand. But at the same time, you can't save all your possessions. Now the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah discuss Kisvei HaKodesh. Thus the name of the parak, called Kisvei. Kisvei HaKodesh, whether it's Nevi'im, it's Ksuvim, different languages, those are things that you're allowed to save. Then the Mishnah said that a person's allowed to save Mazon Gimel Sudas. Meaning if it's Shabbos, you're allowed to save the food that you need on Shabbos. Machloikis Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yosi, you could always save Mazon Gimel Sudas. According to Chachamim, no, it depends. You could save Mazon Gimel Sudas if you didn't eat any of your sudas yet, so you're going to need Mazon Gimel Sudas. But if this happens on Shabbos afternoon, where you already ate two of your sudas, then you can only save the Shalosh Sudas. More than that, you wouldn't be allowed to save. The Mishnah then discussed if somebody is saving these items, where is he allowed to save them to? Meaning, you can just walk into a Rishus HaRabim with them? So of course you can. So meaning, where are you allowed to take it to? And there too, we had a machloikis between Ben Beseira and the Chachamim. Lehechon matzila noisan. The Chachamim said you can take it to a mavi she'enem a foolish. Ben Beseira said even to a mavi a foolish. That was where Kol Kisvei meets Erevin. The short Gemara, not so easy, but the short Gemara and Afkuf Yedzayin. But either way, continuing along now on that note, matzilin sal moli kikaris. A person's allowed to save a basket full of bread. Afal pishiyesh by meya sudais. Even if it has a 100 sudais. So the Gemara is going to discuss this a little bit. But what it means simply is that even though the previous Mishnahs said that you're only allowed to save Mazon Gimel Sudais, that's if the Sudais are scattered. So you have to start collecting challahs and potato kugels. So then there's a halacha of Mazon Gimel Sudais. However, if the food is in a bag, if the food is in a suitcase, so all you need to do is one action of just removing the suitcase, so then you can do it. There's no halacha that says empty out the suitcase and take out only Mazon Gimel Sudais. No. If it's one act of removing items from the fire, afilu yesh by meya sudais, even if there's 100 sudais worth inside, the halacha is he'd be allowed to take it. Additionally, the same is true as it relates to Igul Shel Devela and Chavish Shel Yayin. It doesn't matter how much is in it. If it's one big cake of Devela, you could take it, even if it has more than Mazon Gimel Sudais. If you have a Chavish Shel Yayin and there's a lot of wine, more than Mazon Gimel Sudais, it doesn't matter, you're allowed to take it. Additionally, this is a Chiddush, you can even call other people. You can call your neighbors and tell them, Bo Vahatzilu Lachet. Emphasis on the chef. If you want, you can go save it for yourself. And how you pick now? If those people were smart, they would make a cheshbon after Shabbos. They would, listen, we saved for you the food. Now, it took us about an hour. Our hourly rate is $100 an hour. This is what we want you to, this is what you should pay us. If they're smart, this is what they would do. Now, if someone's going ahead and saving all this food, we're allowed to save it too. You're allowed to save it to a chatzah ha-mu'revetz. Ben-Beseira says, aflesh ein ha-mu'revetz. Again, here we have a machloikis between Ben-Beseira and the Chachamim as to where it is you're allowed to save the food to. In the previous mission, Kufte Zayin Amaral Beis, we were discussing saving the Kisvei HaKodesh. And there the mission said, l'heichem ha-tzilu noisoi, mavi she'ein ha-mefulish. Ben-Beseira said, even to a mavi mefulish. When it comes to saving food, so here the standards are a little stricter. The Chachamim say you're only allowed to save it to a chatzah mu'uveres. We're not going to allow you to do any carrying. No hitzah. Not hitzah midayraisa, not hitzah midrabanon. Even the derabanon of carrying within a rishos hayachid where there's no eruv v'chatzeres, even that we're not going to allow you to do. The Meseiru was more lenient in the previous Mishnah when it came to saving kisvei kodesh. He's a little more lenient here as well. He says you could even take it to a chatzah she'ena mu'uveres. Even if there's no eruv, over here you could be mekel. L'sham moitzi kol kli tashmisha. Additionally, you're allowed to take all kli tashmisha, anything that you're going to need for Shabbos, you're allowed to take. Here's another chiddush. V'loyvesh kol mashiyachal, which you can put on all the clothing you want. V'oitev kol mashiyachal, you can wrap anything you want to wrap on top of your head. Now, how do you do that? You just stop putting on 15 layers of clothing. So what you can do is you can put on clothing, go outside, take it off, go back in, take another layer, go outside. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Rabbi Yosi says, no, you're not allowed to take anything that you want, but rather yud ches kelim. You're only allowed to take yud ches kelim, b'chayzev aloyvish umoytzi, like we just mentioned. Take it on, put it back on. V'oymer la'cherim bo v'atzilu imi. And here too, you're allowed to tell other people to come help you. And here you can say bo v'atzilu imi. When it came to calling other people and asking them to help you save the food, it was bo v'atzilu loche. When it comes to saving clothing, it's bo v'atzilu imi. Either way, this Mishnah is straightforward, but there's a lot of information over here. The Gemara is going to go through it. So the first Gemara is v'tano le'reisha gimel sudois. Gemara asks the steer. The Mishnah said, how much are you allowed to save if there's a fire? Kuf yud zayin amud beis. You're allowed to save mazon gimel sudois. And here the Mishnah says, how much are you allowed to save if there's a fire? It says, no, matzilin sal molik ikaris. Afo pishi yesh bei mea sudois. So we explained it when we learned the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara is about to do. Amar avunu le'kasha kam bebole hatzel, kam bebole kapel. If everything is together, it's in a sal. Oh, even if it's 100 kikaris, 100 sudais, you're allowed to take it. If you're ba lekapel, if you have to put it all together, meaning the food is scattered, then you're only allowed to gather mazon gimel sudais. That's the only thing you'd be allowed to carry. Ba lehatzel matzel skulam, ba lekapel in lekapel on the mazon gimel sudais. Rabbi Bazavda said in the name of Rav, idi vidi ba lekapel. No, could be both mishnayos are talking about where you have to put it together. But like Kasha, the chiluk is kan lo isa chotzer, kan lo chotzer acheres. Our Mishnah specifically is talking about where the person's taking it into the same chatzar that he's in. Oh, if it's in the same chatzar, over there, we're more makel. Interesting. So till now, we thought the idea was to stay away from the fire, because we're afraid, asli lechbuye. But over here, we have a distinction. Are you bringing it to your chatzar, taking it to another chatzar? Another chatzar, only mazon gimel sudais. If it's your chatzar, then you can take even more. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua asked the catch. Pirus talisoi v'kipa v'nich. My kabbalah hatzel dami kabbalah kapel dami. Meaning, according to the first teretz of the Gemara, why in one mishnah could you say mazon gimel sudais and over here you could take even 100 kikaris? So we said the difference is mazon gimel sudais if you have to put it together. 100 kikaris if it's in one sal. What if it's not in one sal now? Meaning you don't have it in a basket now. But what you're going to do is you're going to, in the house, bring it all together, put it into a basket or put it into your talis. That was the case of Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, where your pyrus talis, and then you're going to bring it out in one shot. Do you look at it as a bala hatzel? Because you're going to take it out in one swoop. Or do you look at it as a bala kapel? Because you had to put it together inside the house. So the Gemara says like, Smidom, Rav Ati Rav Shizbi, the Rav Chizda. Being that Rav said that Rav Shizbi once misled Rav Chizda, the Darash, because he said the following drasha, Ubovad, Shloyavi kli shu machzik yoisim migimel sudas. What was the context? We saw this earlier in the parak. The halacha is that if someone has a chavish al yayin, it's on top of a roof, and then the chavish al yayin breaks. So you're not allowed to go save all the wine. What you could do is you could bring one keli and you could save it, but you can't stop bringing a whole bunch of kelim. The chamu were worried there's no fire, so it's not duma asi lechbuya, but they were afraid that you may carry a keli through a rishos rabbim and you're going to end up carrying. Now Rav Shizbi told Rav Chizda that when you take that one keli, which the chamu allowed you to do, make sure it's not too big. It can't be machzik yoisim migimel sudais. If it's machzik yoisim migimel sudais, it's not okay. Now Rava heard what Rav Shizbi told Rav Chizda, and Rava said, "Ate Rav Shizbi l'Rav Chizda." Now you misled him. So nishtemes. It's not true. You can bring as big a keli as you want, and it's going to be okay. Shmami, no. You know what you see from here? Kibbalah hatzel domi v'shaper domi. If that's the case, l'churi, the same should be true. That I should be allowed to walk into a house if there's a fire, take a very, very big talis, put as much as I can put in, as long as I'm taking it out in one shot. Just like if the one keli could be machzik yoisim migimel sudois, so too the one talis that you're bringing inside to save the food could be more than that as well. Zok tigmar amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak the Rav Amai Tosa. Why was Rav Shizbi wrong? Rav said Rav Shizbi was wrong. How do you know that? Amalei diktani, because the Chazal, when they said this halacha, the Tanaim, they said, they were only worried about another keli. That one keli, as big as it is, that's going to be okay. So the Mishnah said that if you want, you can say, ask people, call your neighbors and tell them, there's a fire, could you please help me take the things out? Now, if they were smart, so the Gemara says, if they're smart, they wouldn't make a cheshbon. You know what they would do if they're smart? They would keep the food. That's what they would do if they're smart. Why? The Gemara says, because this food is hefker. Now, as Machlokes, we're showing why this food is hefker. Rashi learns the reason the food is hefker, because when the person said, bo vahatzilu, what did he say? Bo vahatzilu lochem. Also, he was mafkarit. So being that he was mafkarit, so it's hefker. So afraid the Gemara. If they're smart, they're going to ask for an hourly rate for the work that they did. If they're smart, they're going to take the food. The assumption is the food's worth more than their hourly rate. So if that's the case, that's what they should do. We're talking about chassidim. We're talking about people that they're not going to want to take this. They're not going to want to take this hefker. Why not? So the Rishonim explained, the Ritvas is mevar this very nicely. He says, because even though it's true the person was mafkarit, but he did it under duress. And being that the hefker happened under duress, so a chassid is not going to be so, he's not going to rely so much on this hefker. So if he's not going to rely on this hefker, there's no way he's keeping it. So at the very least, get your hourly rate. On my Rava, so Rava asked the Geshmak HaKasha, chassidi agri the Shabbat HaShakli, if this person's so such a chassid, then why is he asking? He's taking Schar Shabbos. Now here too, the Rishonim, it's not real Schar Shabbos. No one ever hired him. This wasn't legitimate Schar Shabbos. But it's if he's a chassid, he wouldn't take it, right? So the Gemara's question is, Manavshach, he's a chassid, he's not relying on the hefker, but at the same time, the Schar Shabbos will take, Elo Marova, yeah. Hachib Yorah Shemayim, Maskin, we're dealing with Yorah Shemayim. Loi Nichalei Delsanim Acherim, he's not going to take somebody else's thing, but at the same, Bechina Namilei Nichalei Delsanim, but he also doesn't work for free. His time is worth money. So the Hachi Karmim, how you pickin, the Yadi, the Chai Gabnu, Schar Shabbos, this is what the Mishnah means. If he's a shtickle of Yorah Shemayim, so therefore he's not going to keep it. But at the same time, he knows the halachis, he knows it's not real Schar Shabbos. It looks like Schar Shabbos, but really it's not Schar Shabbos. So he has a right to take it. He can make cheshbon al Shabbos, and he can get paid for it. So the Mishnah said that if there's food, you can call your neighbors to help you take the food out, and if there's clothing, call your neighbors to help you take the clothing out. But there was a nuance in the lashon. When it comes to food, you tell your neighbors, you have, this is the only way it works. Bo vahatzilu lachem. When it comes to the clothing, bo vahatzilu imi. So afraid to gemara, maish lahakad iktani lachem, maish lahakad iktani imi. Amri gabi mezoinis iktani lachem, mishu buloi kachazi alamazin imal sudas. By food, he has to say lachem. He can't say, take it from me, because you, yourself, the person whose house this is, only has a right to take Mazen Gimel Sudais. So if he can only take Mazen Gimel Sudais, how could he ask someone to take for, you can say, take for yourself, and then wink, wink. That you could do. But you can't say, take for me, because you yourself are not allowed to take more than that. Because really, he can take more. Because the Mishnah said that if you want, you can take all the clothing in the world. It's just gonna take a long time. It's a tedious process, especially with a fire burning. You're gonna have to go in and out and in and in and in and out. So, but being that at the end of the day, you can take everything by yourself. So therefore, you have a right to tell your neighbors to take imi, meaning help me, do it for me. Not just do it for yourself. Tanu Rabbanon, loivish, moitzi, upoishit, v'chayze, v'loivish, umoitzi, upoishit, v'afilu, kola, yankuloi, divi, rameir. Rameir says you could do this the whole day, this is going to be okay. Rabbi Yossi says no, you can't do this all day. Rather, shmoy na'asa kelim. You have a right to take 18 kelim, and this is what it is. V'eluhim, shmoy na'asa kelim. So the following are the 18 kelim. So apparently the well-dressed man, once upon a time, looked very differently than he does today. So these are the 18 garments that a person wore once upon a time. Miktoirin, a cloak. Unkali, a coat. Upunda, that's a belt that he wore on top of his coat. Kalbushal pishtan, that's a vest. V'chaluk, so chaluk usually is a shirt, but if you want to be more accurate, it's a tunic. Uva apilois is a robe. Umafiris, That's something that he wrapped around his head. Ushnei Sfarkim, those are two bands that he wrapped around his legs. Shnei Menalim, so we still have shoes as well. The two shoes, Ushnei Ampilois, two socks. Ushnei Pargoid, two gaiters, things that he put around his feet. The Chagrish Ebemasnov, that's the belt that he wore underneath his coat. The Koivash Eberoishai, his hat. The Sudash Ebetzavarei, and the scarf that he wore around his neck. Zok the Mishnah right there. Reb Shimon ben Anas, Omer Reb Shimon ben Anas says, Parson, Orishal, Gdi Al Gabi Shido, Teva Umigdol, She'achus Be'enesar. So again, this is the same context. There's a fire burning. So the question is there anything this person can do to try to stop the fire? So till now we talked about what he could save. Now we're going to talk about dealing with the actual fire. So Reb Shimon ben Anas, also known as Ben Anas, said the following. He says, if you want, you could take Orishal Gdi, the hide of a gedi, of a young goat, and you can put it on top of a sheet of tevu migdol to protect it from burning by the fire. And the reason is with neshu mecharech, because it's not extinguishing the fire. All you're doing is protecting the sheet of tevu migdol. A sheet is a wagon, the tevu is a box, a migdol is a closet. So you're not really affecting the fire as much as you're protecting the item that you just covered. So that's something that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Again, if it was extinguishing the fire, it wouldn't be mutter. But Ben Anas said, you're not extinguishing the fire, that's why it's okay. The Gemara is going to go into great detail to discuss sheet as Ben Anas. Additionally, you're allowed to make a mechitza. You can make a wall using kelim. Doesn't matter if these kelim have water in it, they don't have anything in it. Make a wall to try to stop the fire from burning. Rabbi Yossi, there's a famous Shittas Rabbi Yossi. There's a lot of raid attached to this Shittas Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, you want to make a wall? Not so fast. You can't use a kli cheres. You can't use an earthenware keli. Chadoshim, if it's new, and it's malei and mayim, it's filled with water. The reason is, because what's going to happen is because it's new, the fire is going to burn through this kli cheres. And what's going to happen when the fire burns through it? The water's going to come out. And what's going to happen when the water's going to come out? It's going to extinguish the fire. So it's going to come out. You are goyrim. That's the punchline. You were goyrim. This is a gram kibbuy. You were goyrim to extinguish the fire. Rabbi Yossi holds gram kibbuy as aser. And because of that, Rabbi Yossi says, you can't just make any mechitza. You have to make sure the mechitza that you make isn't even going to lead b'derech groma to eventually extinguish this fire. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav, talus, shachas ben asar. If somebody has a talus and there's a fire on the talus, mitzad echo, noisen lemay mitzad echo, you could pour water on the other side and make that wet. And cuffs. And if it ends up extinguishing the fire, no worries. You don't have to worry about it. This is a chiddush. What do you mean? You're indirectly extinguishing the fire. Right. But it was indirect. So being that it's indirect doesn't matter. Okay, so what's the scene? You have a talus. There's a fire on one side of the talus. It's going to burn through the whole talus. It's a chaval. You don't want to lose the other half of the talus. So you pour water on it. It makes it wet. So now the fire doesn't take to the other side of the talus. And if cuffs, it's cuffs. Now, obviously, there's no guarantee this is going to happen. Maybe it's a davar shein mischaven. Maybe it's gram kibbuy. So we're going to have to see. But for now, Rabbi Yehuda said, in the name of Rab, this is okay. I'll ask you a kasha from a braiso. Talus, shachas ben asar, if there was a talus that had fire on mitzad echad. So the braiso doesn't say you could do what Rabbi Yehuda and Rab said. Rather, you could do something else. Poishta, you can unfold the talus, umiskasaba, and put it on. If in cuffs or cuffs, and if that somehow extinguishes the fire, that's okay. But you can't do more than that. There's a sefer Torah that's on fire. Rachmana litzlan. Poishta, you could unroll the sefer Torah to try to prevent the fire from spreading. The kaira, but you can read from it. The imkava kava. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, you see, it's not so poshut over here to just pour water. If you can pour water, that's the best trick. Why aren't we pouring water? So you see, you can't pour water. So it's a kasha of Yudha Merav. Yudha Merav is addressing the same thing that the Bryce is addressing, but they gave different eitzos. The Bryce says, you can do something to cause the fire to stop spreading. Rabbi Yehuda Merav said you could do something that may actually extinguish the fire. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, Huda Amar ki Rav Shimon ben Anas. No. Rav holds that price is going according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah that you can't make a wall with new earthenware kelim that have water inside because it's gram kibbuy. And you can't do something that's going to cause kibbuy. Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. He held like who? Like Rav Shimon ben Anas in the Mishnah, who holds that no such thing as gram kibbuy. But the Gemara says, Emedam Rav Shimon ben Anas b'nei shum mechar. Where did Rav Shimon ben Anas say in the Mishnah that there's no such thing as gram kibbuy? What did Rav Shimon ben Anas say in the Mishnah? He said that if you have a fire in your house, so you can cover the sheet of tevu migdol with ar. Why? Because it's not going to be mechabit. That's pashut the way you understand it. Because it's just going to protect the sheet of tevu migdol. So to the contrary, it sounds like Rav Shimon ben Anas, if anything, doesn't hold of gram kibbuy. So the Gemara says no. Because midik tani seifa, Rav Yosi Yosi b'kli cheres chadashim leim, mayim sheni yichem lekabel nasar, beim esbak lecham nasad leiko. You had Rav Yosi sheet who holds gram kibbuy. It sounds like Rav Yosi was coming to argue with somebody. Who was he arguing with? Tanakama Shari. He must have been arguing with Benanis. And Benanis must hold, even though he didn't say it Mefurish in the Mishnah, but he must hold that you're allowed to cover the Shita Teva Migdal with Ar. But in addition to that, he must also hold that Gram Kibbutz is Mutter. So Rav Paskin Gram Kibbutz is Mutter, he knew he was going to Kineged a Braisa. But he held that Braisa was going according to Rabbi Yossi that holds Gram Kibbutz is Aser. He himself Paskin that Gram Kibbutz is Mutter. Tana Rabbana, more on this note. Ner Shal Gabi Atavla. If there's a Ner, that's on top of a board, Menares Atavla. You can shake the Tavla, Vihinoi Feles, cause the Ner, even though the Ner is Muktzah, you can cause the Ner, assuming the Tavla is not Muktzah, like the Gemara is going to say. So assuming the board is not Muktzah, you can shake the board, cause the Ner to fall, then Kafsa Kafsa, don't worry about the fact that it may get extinguished. I mean, the very Rabbi, that's only true if the Nair was placed on the board by mistake. Avo miniach. But let's say you left the deer b'mezit, then the board is muktzah. Because nasa basas l'davar aser, because then it becomes a basas l'davar aser. And this is based on the halacha that a basas l'davar aser is muktzah, but only if you put it there with das. If you didn't put it there with das, it's not considered a basa. Tano nair shachar yadelas. If there's a nair that's behind the door, Pesach v'no kadak, you're allowed to open and close the door. You don't have to say, I can't, can I open up the door? The leichter's there. You're allowed to open it. And kafsa kafsa. Layatala Rav. Rav heard this. He got very upset. In fact, he cursed the one that said this. This is interesting. In light of the Gemaras that we had on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph with Layat Rav to Karno and to Shmuel. So here again, Layatala Rav. Amalei Rav Yidala Rav Achabri the Rav. Amalei Rav Achabri the Rav of the Rav Ashi. My time, Layatala Rav. Why was Rav so upset? Ilay Mishun the Rav Sovel like Rav Yehuda. Is it because Rav holds like Rav Yehuda? That a Dovish and Meschavin is Aser. So it could be Shalay Bekavani. You're going to end up extinguishing this fire. Okay, so let's say the Tana Kama doesn't hold like Rav Yehuda. He holds like Rav Shimon. He holds a double chain of Mischav and his mutter. The Tana, Tani like Rav Shimon. Mishum the Rav Sova like Rav Yehuda. Called the Tani Rav Shimon. Melech Layet Allah. Right, we know Kedai Rav Shimon Lisvachal of B'Shas Adchak. Now all of a sudden, if somebody passes like Rav Shimon, that's a reason for Rav to be Layet Allah. Amalei, I said, B'ha, I feel the Rav Shimon. The reason Rav was so disappointed is because Rav held that Rav Shimon would be Moida. What do you mean? It's a double chain of Mischav. You're just opening and closing the door when you go in and out of your house. Why would that be a problem? Because you may extinguish the fire, but it's a dover shein mischaven. Rav Shimon also dover shein mischaven is mutter. No, because Abaye and Rava, Dami Trevayu, Abaye and Rava both said, Moide Rav Shimon, b'psikreish of Loyamos. This is not maybe going to happen. This is gonna happen. This is for sure. This is a psikresha. That's why it was light al Rav. Rabbi Yehuda. Pesachadim dals keneged medur. A person's allowed to open up a door next to a fire. B'Shabbos. Light al Abaya. Abaya said, "How could you do that?" B'mayaskin. I leima beruach mitzuyos. So the Gemara says, "Let's. What was the case that we're even discussing? Is it a case where it was a ruach mitzuya? Meaning it's a regular wind. My time to mind the asa. What should be the problem?" Meaning, if it's just a windy day outside, it's probably not to the extreme. A medur is a big fire, so it's going to extinguish a Madura. And if a ruach she'ena mitzuya, and if it's a ruach she'ena mitzuya, my time in the mandashari. Then if it's like a, there's serious tornado-like winds, then it's a ruach she'ena mitzuya. It's something that's not shechit, doesn't happen every day. Then why would anyone say it's mut? The Gemara says, loyim ruach mitzuya. Marisav gazrina, marisav gazrina. This was all about a gzera. You're right. This is not a real issue, but this was all a question about a gzera exhale. So just going back to speak out a little bit of raid related to the beginning of that. The truth is the second part of the daf really lends itself to tremendous raid, the halachas of grama, something we talk a lot about in the daf, but at the same time, just to stick with the theme of the last few dafin, which has been hashtag light raid and divrei agada, so to go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara gave different reasons of why the Beis HaMikdash was charev. One of the reasons that the Gemara said was, Amar Avavo, lo charva Yerushalayim, ela b'shvil shebitlu. The reason that the Yerushalayim was charev was shebitlu b'tinoike shel Beis Rabam. Because the tinoike shel Beis Rabam, the boys weren't going to yeshiva. And because they weren't going to yeshiva, we didn't have tinoike shel Beis Rabam, and that's what caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Shenema, the pasuk says, shvoich al oilo b'chutz. Ma tam shvoich, what's the reason? Mishum da oilo b'chutz. And then the Gemara brought a whole bunch of different memories from different Amayroim that discussed the chashivos of the Torah of tinoike shel Beis Rabam. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, maidich siv, al tigu b'mshichoy, uvin viay al tareyu, al tigu b'mshichoy, elu tinoike shel Beis Rabam. Referring to the Torah of Tinoikos of Beis Rabbim. Amar Reish Lakish Meshum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Ein Oilam Eskayim Elobich Vol Hevel Tinoikos of Beis Rabbim. The world stands on the Torah of Tinoikos of Beis Rabbim. Right, Amalei. Rapapa Labayis. Rapapa told Abai, what? And the Divadi Dachmai, what? Is there something wrong with our Torah? He says, no. Their Torah is more Chashuv because their Torah is Hevel She'im by Chet and they never did any Averis. And because they never did any Averis, their Torah is on a higher level. However, us, we're older, we're Gedolim, we've done Averis. And because we've done Averis, so for us, it's not going to be. The truth is, this is a very, very well-known Gemara. We've spoken about it many times in the Daf.
The obvious chiddush of this Gemara is that tinoikeshol beis rabbam are not even mechuyev in mitzvahs, which means that when they learn Torah, they're not even mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If they're not mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what could be so chashuv about their learning? Ein oilam eskayim ela b'shvil hevel piyam shol tinoikeshol beis rabbam. They're not even mekayim a mitzvah. If you hold mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, then the only way to be mekayim a mitzvah is by having kavana. They're not even b'nei das. So the whole concept of ein oilam eskayim ela b'shvil hevel piyam shol tinoikeshol beis rabbam is a very big chiddush. We've spoken out Torah in the past from the Reshiva Reb Aaron Zatzal, but the ein kan mekayim l'harach. I'll just tell you one beautiful chiddush that I saw today in the Iyun Yaakov. So the Iyun Yaakov is a pirush on Ein Yaakov that was written by the Baal Shavus Yaakov, the Rav in Prague in the late 1600s. We mentioned the Shavus Yaakov recently in the Daf when he described the terrible fire that burned through the entire Frum Kehila in Prague, and he sent a shaila to the Chacham Tzvi, who was the Rav in Hamburg at the time. He sent a shaila to the Chacham Tzvi. He wanted to know, being that so many Sifrei Torah were burned, whether the Yidden had a fast and they had a rice kriya and do the Hanhogos that the Gemara says in Perek Elu Magalchem, a person has to do if this is a Sefer Torah and Nisra. But either way, this is in the Iyun Yaakov, on this Gemara right here in the Ein Yaakov. He says, Al tigu b'mshichoy, Elu tinoikesh l'beis rabam. Al tigu b'mshichoy is the tinoikesh l'beis rabam. What does Mashiach mean literally? It means Mashiach. Mashiach. The tinoikesh l'beis rabam is Mashiach. What does that mean? Al tigu b'mshichoy, Elu tinoikesh l'beis rabam. See, he says a dover nifla ad moed. He says, the Gemara says, Masechtas Bava Basra, Dav Ches Amid Beis, V'masnisa Tana. The Pasuk says, V'hamaskilim yaziru kezoyer harakia, U'matztike harabim kakoychovim lo'ilam void. V'hamaskilim yaziru kezoyer harakia, Zedayin shedon dinemes lamitoy. It's referring to a dayin that is don dinemes lamitoy, V'gabit stok, U'matztike harabim kakoychovim lo'ilam void. What is that? Elu melamdei tinoikes. The melamdei tinoikes, what are they? They're matztike harabim, and they're kakoy chovim, they're like stars. So said the Shvus Yaakov in this Iyun Yaakov, that in Parashas Balak, in this week's parasha, in Parashas Balak, Bilam said, Erenu v'loyata, Ashurenu v'loykorov, Dorach koychav miyakov. A star is going to emerge from Yaakov. Dorach koychav miyakov. Says Targum Yonason, who's this koychav? Who's Dorach koychav miyakov? The Yisrabi Meshicha. It's referring to Mashiach. Bilam said in the book about Mashiach. Mashiach is referred to as Koichav Miyakov. So says the Iyun Yaakov, Al tigu b'mshichoy, u'matztikei harabim kakoichavim lo'ilam vod, elu melamdei tinoikis. Because the tinoikis are going to bring Mashiach. That's the Al tigu b'mshichoy. And that's why the Pasuk says, u'matztikei harabim kakoichavim lo'ilam vod. What does it have to do with stars? It's this Targum Yoinasin, Dorach Koichav Miyakov, says Targum Yoinasin, V'yisrabi Mashicha. He says Mashiach is going to come. Mashiach is going to come from the Torah of the Tinoikesh Beis Rabbam. Not only is the Torah of the Tinoikesh Beis Rabbam the reason that the world stands today, but the Hevel Piyam Shal Tinoikesh Beis Rabbam is going to be the reason that we're going to get out of this Golos. He says we're going to get out of this Golos because of the Hevel Piyam Shal Tinoikesh Beis Rabbam. So he says, what does Hevel mean? Hevel Piyam, it's such an interesting word. Hevel Piyam Shal Tinoikesh Beis Rabbam. So Pashit means breath, but he says you find the word Hevel means something else. What is Hevel? Hevel smoke. That's the sugyas that we're learning now. Perikol Kisveh, right? The bar is, the Hevel of the bar is what's masik. It's smoke. That's what Hevel is. So he says, that's the oimik. We say in Nachem, by Mincha and Tisha B'Av, Kiyato Hashem bo'esh yitzata uve'esh ata osid levnoisa. What's this fire? The 13 times that it says esh in Parshas Vaaschadim. What's this esh? What's this esh that's going to bring back today's Hamikdash? He says, it's the Hevel Piyam Shal Tinoikesh Shal Beis Rabbam. He says, Al tigu b'meshichoy elu Tinoikesh Shal Beis Rabbam. The Tinoikis of Yisrabim HaMashiach? What does that mean? U'matztike harabim ki koichavim lo'olam vod, as in Dorach koichav miyakov says Targum Yonason v'Yisrabim Mashicha. He says, because this is the be'esh osid levnoisa, it's the hevel she'im b'ichet, it's the Mashiach is going to come all in the schus of the hevel piyam shal Tinoikis of Yisrabim. I think this is a dover chadosh. It's definitely a dover nifla. Either way, that's the first aura. The second aura is, so the Gemara said something very scary. The Gemara said that if someone's mevaza Talmud Chacham, ein refuah lemakasa. If someone's mevaza a Talmud Chacham, what's going to happen is ein refuah lemakasa. I was thinking, we know that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died midivcha v'yad atzarta. They died between Pesach and Shavuos. The Marshal says in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Samech Beis Amid Beis, that really is a very big chiddush, because Shmuel said in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, We're going to see this Gemara very shortly, that kuli shakiani, all medications work best midivcha v'yadatzarto, which means from Pesach until Shavuos, that's a time really of refuah. It's a zman of refuah. So really, any person that gets sick during that time is supposed to have a refuah. The Chassam Sofer, in his Chedushei Chassam Sofer, Masechet Shabbos, on that Gemara, Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, says that the Sfar Makdoshim say, Ani Hashem Roifecha, is Rosh Tevis, Ani, Yud Yud, Reish, is Ani Hashem Roifecha, is Rosh Tevis, Iyar. Because Chodesh Iyar is Midivcha V'yad Atzarta. It's from Pesach until Atzeres. So really, when did the Talmid Rabbi Akiva die? They died Chodesh Iyar. They died during the time of Ani Hashem Roifecha. That's the one full month that happens between Pesach and Shavuos. So what's Pshat? Why did they have a refu? So the Marsha says, the reason Chazal said that they died Midivcha V'yad Atzarta, you shouldn't think this is a Mikra. No, because if this was a Mikra, they wouldn't have died. Because they would have had the school of Ani Hashem Reifecha. Fakir, this was done bediktuk bekavana. I am Rashon Chedushi Agadas Yivam and Samach Beis Amad Beis. But I was thinking maybe that's the punchline. They were mevazet Talmid Chachovim Kaviyachu, whatever that means. But Chazal were megalatas on some level. They were loy nagu covered zeb. Maybe they weren't mevazet Talmid Chachovim, but they were loy nagu covered zeb zeb. And you know what happens? Loy nagu covered zeb zeb. Ain refuah lemakosay. So that's what happened. Even though it was Chodesh Iyar, even though it was from Pesach until Shavuos, it's this man of Ani Hashem Reifecha. But they didn't have the school. They didn't have the school of Ani. But I'll tell you a Dover Nifla from the Hilig Chassam Sofer as it relates to this Chazal of Kol Mevazeh Talmid Chachamim, Kol Mevazeh Talmid Chachamim, Ein Refuah L'Makaseh. But this Chassam Sofer needs a little bit of an introduction, and this will take us until the end of the daf. The Chassam Sofer famously wrote a Sefer called Sefer HaZikaron. Sefer HaZikaron was an autobiographical account of when Napoleon and the French army laid siege on the city of Pressburg. Chassam Sofer was rough in Pressburg, and it was under siege in the year 1808, 1809, around that time. And when they laid siege on the city of Pressburg, so the Yidden were in a terrible matzav of sakana, and the Chassam Sofer had to run away, as we're going to see. And the situation was very, very dire. And the Chassam Sofer wrote a diary, literally, of the events that took place at that time. It's fascinating. We've mentioned it in the daf many times. It's been translated into English. It's very hard to find. But the point is that this is from the Chassam Sofer's own personal account in real time as it relates to what he wrote in the Sefer HaZikaron during this Tkufa, when the city of Pressburg was being attacked by the French army under the leadership of Napoleon. Now, this piece in particular is printed in Drosha's Chassam Sofer. It's printed in Drush Aleph. If you have the new Drush's Chassam Sofer, it's in Chelek Hey. It's Drush Aleph. He gave this drusha on Tes Tammuz, which is today's day, the day of this recording. It's Tes Tammuz, exactly 211 years to the day. This is when the Chassam Sofer gave this drusha. He writes as follows. He says, "B'yom Chamish." It's printed in the Sefer HaZikaron, but and this is what he writes in the Sefer HaZikaron. "B'yom Chamishi le'es erev apoyna le'yom vav Tes Tammuz shaboy hufko ir Yerushalayim barishayna." We're going to get back to it. "Os shilamti nidri." He said, "I had made a neder that I owed, and I was mashal my neder." Divrei Musa berabim bebeis haknesses hakdoish hagdoilo. He said, "Kicho b'chol oisan hayomim loinureisei achutza chutz lichidri." He said, during that whole tkufa when everything was going on in Pressburg, when we were under attack, I couldn't leave. I was hiding. He says, "I couldn't leave. Mikomokim ata now, I feel safer." So machi al schus talmud Torah the rabbim. V'nesfu amoyin am Hashem kal godol Hashem yosef aleim v'yivarchin kashudib lochem. V'holachti l'shom v'amarti divrei musar God of his oyer is truva. And then he writes how all the Yidden took upon themselves Kabbalahs. And it's interesting. He doesn't say that he told them what Kabbalah it should be. And it doesn't even mention. He says everyone knew what they needed to be Makabal. And that's what they were Makabal. And he says there was Bechia and there was truva. It's fascinating. So this is the backdrop. And then he went ahead and gave a 15-page drasha. This is here in the drasha's Chassam Sofer. This is a mamash, an epic drasha. So I'm just going to skip to the middle. He says something very interesting. He says that while he was under siege, he was mesupik what he should do. Meaning it seems that there were ways for the Chassam Sofer to escape. He could have gotten away and he would have been safe. Now, Skehila would have been in trouble, but he himself would have been safe. And he said, I wasn't sure what the right thing to do is. Is the right thing for him to do to save his life? If he can go to safety, maybe that's something that he's supposed to do. Or maybe to the contrary. Maybe he was supposed to stay with his chevra, and he wasn't supposed to do that. He says that the truth is that he knows from history that there were different menhagim. He mentions too, he says that 60 years ago, This is the Chassam Sofer talking. Tes Tamuz Tov Kuf Samech Tes. He says 60 years ago the city of Prague was under siege, and the Rav at the time was Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, also known as the Noida B'Yehuda. And he says that the Noida B'Yehuda wanted to leave Prague. He felt that he's going to save his life. He wanted to leave Prague. He said V'loi Hinichu Manhigei Ha'ir. But he says the Manhigei Ha'ir didn't allow him to leave. He says, however, he knows of another story with his Rebbe the Hafla when he was the Rav in Frankfurt and it was under siege. And he says there the Chevron in Frankfurt, they figured out a way. They got him visas and passports, and they got the Hafla to be able. They got the Hafla to be able. During the Holocaust. Incidentally, this was something that repeated itself again. My family, my father, we're Alexander Chassidim. The Alexander Rebbe was killed during the war. He could have saved himself. Alexander pre-war was 1 or 1A, definitely one of the largest Chassidim in Europe and Poland. And Alexander Rebbe could have survived the war. They had passports for him. He didn't want it. He said Betoichami Anoichi Yeshevus, and that's why his farm are called Akedas Yitzchak, and that's how he was known as Akedah. He gave himself up on the Akedah. He could have been saved. And this was an existential crisis that many great Jewish leaders over the years had. And the Chassam Sofer is discussing this crisis over here. Now Toich Tvarev, like in every drasha, there's so many tidbits. So he says something unbelievable. Listen to this. He says, what Tes Tammuz is a significant date on the Jewish calendar? What's so significant about Tes Tammuz? So Tes Tammuz was Yom Shehuf Goyer. That's the day that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. What do you mean? I thought Shavasa the Tammuz is the day that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. So the terrace is that Loi Kasha, Kambi Bayis Rishon, Kambi Bayis Sheni. In Bayis Sheni, the walls were breached on Shavasa B'Tammuz. But during Bayis Rishon, the walls were breached on Tes Tammuz. Tosfos in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, brings a Yerushalmi that says that the truth is, he says that the truth is that it's a mistake. People make a mistake. Really, the walls of this first Beis HaMikdash were also breached on Yud Zayin Tammuz. But says Tosfos, and this you have to see it inside to believe this, he says, however, he says, because the Yidden were so distraught about what was going on, Mitoich Tirdasam To B'Cheshben, and they made a mistake. They forgot. They wrote down the wrong date. And being that they made a mistake, so the Torah didn't want to change it. So therefore, you read the pasuk and say for Yirmiyahu, it says that when was Hufka? It was 10. Yirmiyahu, everyone made a mistake. It was one big mistake. But because they were told b'cheshbonim, so the Chachamim said, leave it. Let it stay this way. Says the Chassam Sofer, what's pshat? He said, what's the pshat that by bias reason they made a mistake? Even your Miyah and Avi seem to have made a mistake. And by Bayis Sheni, they didn't make a mistake. So this is what he says. He says, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael during Bayis Rishon? It was your Miyah and Avi. Who was the leader of Klal Yisrael during Bayis Sheni? It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, Yirmiyahu HaNavi at the time of the Churban was in Yerushalayim. He was B'toich Ami Anoichi Yosheves. He was together with the Yidden. Where was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? He says, the Gemara says in Perakhan HaZakin, in the Sugi of Kamsu Bar Kamsu, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out. His Talmidim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, smuggled him out of the Yerushalayim. He wasn't in Yerushalayim. He says, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, because he was in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, see, he somehow got caught in it. And he himself made a toss. He says he was there. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, even though he was being nice about oil, he was doing everything he could possibly do to try to spear Churban Yerushalayim, but he wasn't in it. He wasn't there. And because he wasn't in it, he wasn't affected as much. So he had the clarity of mind. He knew it was Yud Zayin Tammuz. It wasn't Tes Tammuz. It's unbelievable. But says the sometimes you see there were two Menhagim. There was Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He was with the Yidden. There was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai who was. See, the Gemara says in Gittin, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was smuggled out. But it doesn't tell us the rest of the story. It doesn't say whether he ever came back in. So this is the Chassam Sofer. Maybe Baruch Kutcher. No, but this is the Chassam Sofer. Where the Chassam Sofer says that, no, he never came back. He was outside the whole time. He wasn't in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. And because he wasn't in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, that's why he knew it was Yud Zayin. But he said this was the crisis. He says, on the one hand, you had the man, he says, the Chevra in Prague who didn't let the Noida B'Yehuda leave. And then you had the Chevra, the Kehila in Frankfurt, that Fakir, they arranged for the Hafla to leave. You had Yirmiyahu HaNavi who was in Yerushalayim. And you had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that wasn't in Yerushalayim. So he says, what's the right thing to do? So he says as follows. He says, the truth is, I have conflicting mashmoyos from Chazal. He said, because really, when Klal Yisrael is in an Eis Tzara, when there's a Tzibur that's in an Eis Tzara, they need their leader. They need their leader to help them creep out of the Tzara. That's what they need. They need their manik. So he says, is it better for the manik to be in the Tzara if he's going to daven for the Kilo to get them out of the Tzara? Or is it better for him to be b'bachotz? Is it better for him to be outside of the Tzara? Says the Chassam Sofer, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos Daf Amud Beis that Rabbi Elazar was sick. Rabbi Yochanan told him, roll up your sleeve. He rolled up his sleeve. And either way, Habli Yadcha, and he gave him a refu. Then the Gemara says, a short time later, Rabbi Yochanan was sick. And Rabbi Elazar came to Rabbi Yochanan, and he told him the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan is the one. This was Rabbi Yochanan's refu. So why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan do it for himself? So the Gemara says, because ain chavish matir atzmi beis asurim. If a person's in an eis sara, he can't creep out of the eis sara by himself. He needs somebody to take him out of the eis sara. So he says, you see from here, it's better for a person not to be in the eis sara. So if that's the case, it'd be better for the leader, better for the manik not to be together with his sibur. Adar, let him be outside. Let him not be a chavish, so he can take the other people out of the beis asurim. Because if he himself is, then there's an issue of ain chavish matir atzmi beis asurim. That's the Gemara Masechtas Brachos. But says the Chassam Soif, I have a problem. He said, because there's another Gemara. It's a Rashi and Chumash. It's a Medrash Rabbah, actually. The Medrash says that when Yishmael and Hagar were thrown out of Avraham Avinu's house, Kishom Elikim El Koil Hanar Ba'asher Ushom. Zok Rashi, Afal Gaf Degam Hagar Espalala. Mikol Mokim Leshome Elo Lekoil Hanar. Hashem only listened to the Nar. Why? Mishum De'ene Doima Tfilas Acherim Ba'ad Acheila Letfilas Acheila Ba'ad Atzmai. Says it's, you can't compare when a person davens for himself versus when a person davens for somebody else. So what does it sound like? It sounds like to the contrary, that if a person's in the eis sara, he has a better chance of being asked. So said the Chassam Soifen, he writes it so beautifully. He says, Avaraya to the manhigim of Prague. It's funny, he wasn't looking at it from the Noi Debi Yehuda standpoint. He was looking at it from the Kehila standpoint. I have a riot to the Manhigim of Prague, and I have a riot to the Manhigim of Frankfurt. On the one hand, it's better if he's out. But then again, no, it's better if he's in. It's better if he's part of the Sakono. So says the Chassam Soif, and I'm paraphrasing, this is 15 pages, but I'm paraphrasing, just taking out some excerpts. So he says, but I think the pshat's like this. He said, the pshat is as follows. He says, that's Poshin. This is an unbelievable Yisoy that he says. He says, V'nira liho inyan. He says, "Thou pi hasecho lo yuvan eich yoyel tefilas el chaver." He says, "People go to other people. Sometimes they ask them to daven for them. How does that work? What does that mean? How could Reuven daven for Shimon? It doesn't make sense. How could Reuven daven for Shimon?" That's what the Chassam Soif says. He says, "Lo yuvan al pi hasecho eich yoyel tefila al chaver." How one person could daven for somebody else. So says the Chassam Soif, I'm going to tell you what the teretz is. The teretz is the Gemara says in Brachos, "Daf yud beis amid beis." The Gemara says a Talmud Chacham who davens for somebody else has to make himself sick about the fact that he's davening for somebody. He has to make himself sick about the person that he's davening for. He says, you know what? You know when tefila works for somebody else? When the person takes it seriously. Where he himself feels like a chayla. He's yechla atzmoy. That's how it works. Tefila works when a person makes himself sick about somebody else. When you could be noisa ba'oil with somebody else on such a level that if yet Pliny is a chayla, you're yechla atzma, you mamish feel this person's pain, that you're coming to the Eibishter, they're not davening for somebody else, you're davening for yourself. That's who you're davening for. A Talmud Chacham has the kayach to do that, and that's what he needs. The Rabbi said a Talmud Chacham has to be yechla atzma yolof, and he says that's how the tefillah of a Talmud Chacham works. Chazal talk about that. If there's a chayla, you should go to a Chacham, the Yevakish Olav Rachamim. He said, but you can't forget this Gemara, Brachos Yudbeis on the Beis. It all works because of the fact that we're in it together. It all works because of the fact that he could be yechla atzmoy. So says the Chassam Soifer, maybe the way you miyashiv this theory is, it's true there's a klal of ein chavish matir atzmoy bebeis asurim, and it's true there's an idea of ki that mishum de afal gafte gam hoger espalo yishome elo lekoil hanar mishum de enedoy mitfilas achirin badachil tfilas achirin badatzmoy. He said, but there's a big difference between the relationship between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan and Hagar and Yishmael. Again, this is all in a Jerusha, but Derech Drush. He said, you know what the difference is? Hagar and Yishmael weren't Yidden. He said, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan were Yidden. He said, in the non-Jewish world, they don't have Achdus. They don't have Achdus. And because they don't have real Achdus, there's no such thing of real Noisa Ba'olam Chaveret. No, it doesn't exist. So if it doesn't exist, if a person's a choyl, if Yishmael's a choyl, Yishmael has to daven for himself. But if he's going to go over to somebody else, what's that tefillah going to do? The only way that other tefillah can work is if he's yechla atzmoy, like the Gemara says in Brachas, like Rav said in Brachas, Yud Beis on the Beis. He said, but they don't have shaykhis to that madrega. So if they don't have shaykhis to that madrega, so there's no way. It's not, the tefillah's not going to work. So there, if I care, Kishom Elikim El Koil Hanar, this is a musa shmuz for Yishmael. But when it comes to Yidden, because of the achdus that we have, because of the connection between the Yid that's going to the Talmud Chacham to ask him to daven for him, and the Talmud Chacham to the Yid, because of the fact that we're ki'ish echad, b'lev echad, because of our achdus. So when the Yid The gadol, the Talmud Chacham, the tzaddik hears about this tzara, he could be yechla atzmai. He has the ability to be yechla atzmai. And he says, if he has the ability to be yechla atzmai, that's why his tefillah is going to work even for somebody else. So he says, if that's the case, then it's better for him not to be involved in the tzara. It's better to have somebody else do it, because then you'll have the maila of ein chavish mater atzmai beis asurim, but at the same time, you also have the maila of the chayla. I mean, there's a maila of the chayla. It has to be the chayla has to daven for himself. Because if the chayla is not daven for himself, then the whole thing is a latan. You can't, Reuven can't daven for Shimon. It doesn't make any sense. The only time the chayla has to daven for himself. No, the Torah says is a concept that Reuven can be nice about oil on such a level that he could daven for Shimon. And if that's the case, then it's better that he be b'chutz. It's better that he cannot be the chavish that has to be matzah asu beis asurim, but at the same time be nice about oil enough that he's asking for something for himself. That fine line. Either way, that's what the Chassam Sofer said. So it says the Chassam Sofer al pizeh yisbar divrei haGemara in Shabbos kuf yutes on the base. The Gemara says kol mevazot talmud chacham ein refu l'makasa. He says, what does that mean? Ein refu l'makasa. He says, you know what the pshat is? Because what does a yid do if he has a tzara? He goes to a gadol, he goes to a rebbe, he goes to a tzaddik, he goes to a talmud chacham, he goes to a makubal. That's what he does. That's what people do. That's always the way. That's brought down a shulchan aruch in Yeridei. Shem lamed. That's what the shulchan aruch. That's what you do. Yelach etzal chacham v'yavaki shel avrachim. You're supposed to do that. But you know when that works? That works if there's a chibur, there's a connection between you and the talmud chacham. But if there's no connection between you and the talmud chacham, says the chassam sofer, how's that going to work? The whole concept that you have to be davening for yourself. The idea is that Talmud Chacham davening for Azich. He's davening for you, but he's davening for himself. And that requires, Yechla Atzmei has to feel the pain, but it also requires a connection on a higher level, on a spiritual level, on a heebie-jeebie level. Without that, it doesn't work. So if someone's mevazet Talmid Chacham, he knocks off, again, this is drush, but if someone's mevazet Talmid Chacham, he knocks off that kesher, that connection between him and the Talmud Chacham, then if he's going to have to daven, go to the Talmud Chacham and ask him to daven for him, in refuel of makasai, this is not something that's going to work. But just to end, there's one takeaway, I think, for sure, that you see in this Chassam Sofer, and this is something that we've come back to several times during this last machzer, and that is that Omar Rava, brachas yud beiz amid beiz, in Talmud Chachamu, tzarech sheyech la'atzmai. He has to make himself feel sick. Meaning, for the tefillah of a Talmud Chacham to work for somebody else in the most optimum way, he has to feel the pain. If he feels the pain, then it works on a different level. We spoke a lot about this, the idea of Chaim Kanievsky, who said that Chana, every single year, she used to be Eli Regel, and she used to daven for a child. Eli was there, she never thought to ask Eli for a bracha. Then one year, she was davening, and her lips were moving, she wasn't making any noise. Eli thought she was a Shikaira. She said, I'm not a Shikaira. Eli gave her a bracha, and then all of a sudden, she walked out so self-confident, she knew that this was going to be perfect, and the Kachava, she had a son Shmuel. So Chaim Kanievsky said, I understand, if Chana was so confident in Eli's bracha, why didn't she ever ask Eli for a bracha? You have the biggest rep in the world, so why didn't you ask for a bracha? Why didn't you ask for a bracha? Why didn't Chana ask? Is it because Chana didn't just want a bracha? He didn't just want a bracha. Chana felt that if Eli will owe me a bracha, if this is going to be a bracha coming from a place where Eli feels it, he feels the bracha, that's when the bracha is going to work. As soon as Eli was choshev b'ksherim, you know what the halacha is? A choshev b'ksherim, tzarech levarcha, you owe me a bracha. So Chana said, oh, now you have to give me a bracha. This is a different bracha. This is not just a bracha. It's not a frivolous bracha. This is a bracha that's coming from a place where you owe me a bracha. Oh, you owe me a bracha. This is different. We mentioned in the Siyam HaMasechta's brachas, the story with the Noida B'Yehuda. The story with the Noida B'Yehuda with this boy. He was 106. It wasn't a boy then. 116 years old. And he met up a year that he asked him. He said, 116. What were you like to such arichas yamim? So he told him a story. He said that he was a little boy. He worked in a barbershop, and the Noida B'Yehuda used to go take haircut. He used to frequent it there. And the Yehuda was very careful that even when he took a haircut, he didn't take his yarmulke off. And one time, the Yehuda he fell asleep, and while he fell asleep, in the middle of the haircut, his yarmulke fell off, and he felt the yarmulke fall off, and he gave a geschrei. And this kid realized what happened. See, he went, he dove across the room, he caught the yarmulke, and he quickly put it on the Noida B'Yehuda's head. And the Yehuda realized that what this person had done for him, and he taught, I give you a bracha, you should live until 120 years, and you should be gesund. And he said, I'm 116 years old, I've never seen a doctor, and I know I'm going to live another 4 years, because I had a bracha. So Rabbi Yubaruch Finkel brought this, and he said, this is this Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, that when the Rav feels it, when he feels that he has to do it, then it happens. It happens on a different level. You know, we mentioned last week the story with the Sar Shalom. What was the story with the Belzer Rebbe, where there was a Chayla Sheesh by Sakana in Zlotchev, and they heard that the Sar Shalom was staying in Brod, and they sent they had a guy write a kfittel, and he brought it to the Sar Shalom on Shabbos, and Reb Shlomo Kluger was the Rav in Brod. He says, what's going on over here? You can't come in on Shabbos all of a sudden with a kfittel. And the Sar Shalom said the same. What did the Sar Shalom say? The Sar Shalom said, Reb Shalom Belzer said, now I have no choice. Now I'm going to pull it off. So Morty Winkler told me. He says, you forgot the shtel too. He's right. This is the tzu shtel. What happened? He said, this was the whole point. The Sar Shalom had to do it. He had no choice. He had no choice but to pull off the maifas. And you know what he did? He made a maifas. He didn't have a choice. That's Mamush Reb Chaim Kanievsky said. He said that Chana could have gotten a bracha from Eli, but whatever. But when Eli ordered a bracha, he knew now he has no choice. He has to give me a real bracha. He was Chayshu B'Ksherim. Chayshu B'Ksherim Tzarek Levarchai. The idea is Tzadikim and Tamid Chamim have an unbelievable kayach. Again, this is not my Torah. This is Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Torah. The Sarah Torah, Rabin Shal Kolbenet, that everybody goes to for brachas. So this is inside information from Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky said that the way that the school of Tamil Chachamim Tzadikim is when they owe it to you, when they feel it. I think this is the same exact Gemara. Tamil Chachamim Tzarek Shi Yechla Atzmoy. If he's Yechla, this is the Chassam Sofer. He says, well, you can't just daven for somebody else. But if you can get the Tzadik and the Tamil Chacham to really feel the pain and to really want it that badly, this is already a whole different level. Now it goes to a whole different level. This is the school. Either way, I think all this raid ties together, and we'll stop over here.